Well, hello, everybody. This is Mark, and this is episode 38 of the Prepper Guy podcast. And what I've done is splice together and take some of my unnumbered audio files and put them together in this. So some of the issues that are discussed in this podcast are things we've talked about before in politics and the election. It's just some summaries and how I've kind of changed a little bit, but I still feel pretty much the same. There's really not much out there to choose from going into this primary / heading into the general election. The general election is what's important, not the primaries, but we still need to be kind of involved with the primary process because whether we like it or not, the primaries are what select the nominee for the big parties. And let's face it, the big parties have the big dollars and they push for the big conventions and they get all the coverage. So it's top of mind for people to go, oh, I'm going to vote for that guy because he's that candidate. He's the primary guy. He's the one that got the nomination. Yeah, I think I'll vote for him. So some of it has changed a little bit. But I'm still thinking the same way. So even though we're going toward a more prepping podcast, and this podcast does have information on prepping, it's still going toward my beliefs that prepping and politics are intertwined, and you really can't separate them out too completely without destroying the whole recipe. Because we all know that politics are so important in our life, whether we follow them or not. They still control our lives to a great extent. So we must be aware of them, even as preppers. I mean, you got to be following politics if you're into hiking or BMX riding, because they're always shutting down roads and stuff like that. So you need to be involved. And so we can't cast it completely aside. And so once again, I'm going to try to connect the two to where it's not so damn mind-bending. But we will talk about prepping. Don't you worry.
Hump day, yeah!
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy, and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I'm a minimalist, and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us. Whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road. Well, hello, everybody. I wanted to try to do a little bit more upbeat, even though it's kind of a down subject. A lot of people kind of ask me why I'm always talking about politics or diet, more politics, and what I saw on Facebook. And the reality is it all has to do with prepping. I just don't always beat the drum of prepping. What I try to do is beat the drum on understanding that you need to be prepared. That's kind of what the podcast is about. So I point out things that we see in the news, we see on Facebook, things that affect our lives, but we don't have the time to maybe sit and analyze it and go, you know, how does this affect me? Because we're busy. I mean, you get home and you have a little bit of time to watch some news after maybe the kids go to bed and you clean up, and then you're like, oh man, how about your day? It's like, oh. And then by then you're falling asleep and you're in bed. And then you start all over. So to me, there's a lot of things out there. It's like walking through a river full of piranhas that are all very hungry and haven't been fed. We just can't see them because they're underwater. But they're there. They will chew you up if they get a hold of you. So that's kind of, I guess, a good analogy, because I'm just a guy saying, don't cross here because there's piranhas. But you still have to cross. So something that's been bothering me, and I don't understand it, but it's on the election because we got that coming up. God forbid we forget that there's an election. So, you know, the polls are all starting to show things, and now all of a sudden the Republicans are narrowing the field, and Jeb Bush's campaign's just off the rails, which was never really on the rails. I don't want more dynasty families. You know, I'd rather elect somebody on the freeway that's broken down, changing his flat tire, and just pull over and go, hey, you want to be president? It's like, yeah, okay, cool. Get in the car. Let's go. Going to Washington. You're the president. He'd probably get more done. So I'm curious to many of maybe my Democrat listeners, why was it okay for Hillary to lie under oath and to not tell us all the facts and the truth, information about Benghazi. But it was horrible that Bush did. I mean, we all know what bad information gets us. It gets us into a war with Iraq because we had information that we now find out maybe was or wasn't true. The simple fact is it was misinformation out there. Bush believed it, and now we're in war. And that just somehow was just, Bush was just stupid. Didn't he know that was all fake stuff? Why was it okay for Hillary to say that information was true and she supported the war, but now she doesn't, is my point. Why is it okay if Obama cuts GE slack and gives them no taxes when they're making trillions of dollars, but Bush had Halliburton? Now, I'm not asking these questions to defend Bush, you know, because I'm just curious of why in the American psyche is it okay for your team to cheat when they have the ball, but it's the worst thing, it's the collapse of America when the other team cheats and they have the ball. Because maybe I'm kind of old-fashioned, but cheating is cheating. But hey, maybe you don't think that way. Hey, cheating's fine, long as we got the ball. You know, I always used to joke around and say, I don't really care about one world government as long as it's our government. But it doesn't work that way. See, it's not going to be your government or my government. So all of the enemies on your side, if you're a Democrat, and all the enemies on my side, if I'm a Republican, seem to be on the same page. We just don't see it. I mean, let me ask you, if you're a Super Bowl fan and you love football or any sporting event that has a, you know, World Series or a Stanley Cup or whatever, if you knew and you found out that for the last and the next 5 years, the game is fixed. So all the playoff games, all the runoff games, all the whatever games, we're already predetermined. And then they're going to create this drama. But no matter who you bet on, it won't have anything to do with who got drafted in the first round. It's not going to matter who the coach is. It's not going to matter how good they play or so-and-so twisted his ankle and now he's not in the Super Bowl game because the fix was in. Would you be as big of a fan? You might still love the game, but would you be that excited because your team won when you knew they were going to win anyway? Would you feel like, you know, anything was great about the game? If you really knew, I think you'd just walk away from it and go, well, that's screwed up. They took all the fun out of what I enjoy because they got involved. And for some unknown agenda, they just couldn't let the game play itself. They had to get involved and ruin it. And now you, as a fan, can no longer enjoy it. Well, that's what's going on in politics. I mean, I did an episode on socialism. We know the game plan. We know that they get everyone arguing about whether it's good or bad. But they don't sit there and say, well, you know, if we can raise welfare levels, tell everybody's starving so we can control the people. Most Americans, no matter what side you're on, you would go, that's awful. No, we're not going to do that. And they don't do it that way. They just present it in a way to where my side and your side start arguing, kind of like a Super Bowl game. It's like, no, my side's going to win. No, my side's going to win. No, I bet you $100. And, well, did you see that we just drafted that guy and he's great and he's going to have a wonderful career. And then we got rid of that stupid coach. And now we're going to win. Or my side's going to win. No. Because we drafted this other guy and then we took your coach, who's actually a good coach, but you didn't know it. And then we could talk all the way up to the Super Bowl and have a great time. But if we know the fix is in, we're not going to have a great time. It's just like, you know, why don't you just get it over with and screw us right now? In fact, let's just not have the Super Bowl and let's just start our own league. So that's the way it is. We know the steps to socialism. There's probably a lot of other games afoot to screw America, but the fix is in. They've told us in their writings. They've told us in their speeches. They've told us at the UN. We know. Now we're all mad at Russia because Russia's bombing the shit out of who we thought were our enemies. But now they're telling us, no, they're not our enemies. They're actually our friends, but they're not our friends because they're really our enemies. Don't look. Go over here. Election's coming up. Polls numbers. You know, Trump's kicking butt. No, Ben is. Oh, okay, cool. Russia's doing the right thing. They're just like, well, we're not playing your game and we don't have that agenda. We're just going to kill these people that are screwing with us. And so it's just such a game. And I'm trying not to be down about it because, you know, a person could sit there and go, well, why even bother? You know, if there really was destiny and Luke, it's your destiny to save the galaxy. It's like, well, oh, okay. I guess then if I just sit here and eat TV dinners, if it's destiny, I'm going to save the universe whether I eat chicken or pork. I don't even have to go outside because it's destiny. So there's no fun in it. They've wrecked the game. Now, America shouldn't have been a game, and politics and freedom and liberty and life should not be a game. But don't think there's not people out there trying to fix the game for their end goal, whatever it is. You don't have to know what it is. You just know it's there. Now, they've come out and said, we want to screw America, and we want you to be socialist, and we want to control the people because you got a lot of people, and I like controlling people. But they've just taken the fun out of it. So it's hard to keep it upbeat. There are things we could do about it if we could all get on the same page, but we're not going to all get on the same page because that would require us all waking up tomorrow and going, wow, let's change this. Well, the simple fact is we do wake up every day and go, wow, let's change this. But we don't have the book. We don't know how to change it. I mean, we do, but we've been dumbed down. So what do I mean by dumbed down? Well, Trump's speeches, now this is from a survey. Survey says, Trump's speeches are written and delivered on a fourth grade education level. You think, wow. Of course, you know, he's just talking. You know, I'm sure most of our conversation, I'm sure, you know, according to all my SEO things that I run, you know, some of my posts through are, you know, maybe seventh, eighth grade level, you know, because it's just small talk. So it's not, you know, we're not trying to freaking figure out string theory. But Bernie Sanders is at a 10th grade level. So that's cool. That's sixth grade levels up from Trump. 10th grade is not that great when we're talking about electing our president. Abraham Lincoln was at an 11th grade level. Now, this is just his speeches and what he said. He was a lot smarter, and a lot of people are a lot smarter. I mean, Donald Trump couldn't be a billionaire if he was really had a fourth grade education. But the speeches he delivers to us is at a fourth grade education. And the fact that it resonates at a 10th or a fourth grade education is kind of scary. Now, the founding fathers, their speeches and the things they wrote and said was at a postgraduate level, which is the 17th grade. So have they really tried to fix, you know, education with the Department of Education? I would say no, because for the last 220 years, it's just gone straight the hell down. It's almost like the movie Idiocracy. It's just like people have become so dumb. Now, it doesn't mean that we want to be dumb, and most of us study and try to learn things, but we're being dumbed down as a nation to where fourth grade makes sense. Are you going to get them to think at a postgraduate level to save the Constitution? No. They wouldn't understand the concepts that you're even talking about. Like when my kids would argue about why the sky was blue. It's like, you're 6 and 7. You wouldn't understand the answer if I told it to you. So stop it. Stop arguing. Stop pissing me off. Go watch a cartoon. So this is, you know, kind of, you know, what's happening. And it's kind of sad. But, you know, the founding fathers set the government up to be in gridlock. That's why there were three branches of government. That's why the House and the Senate and all these, you know, met very few times during a year to debate a change. And they understood that their whole objective was to protect the individual rights, not to destroy them. And so they wanted it to move slowly because if you react too quickly, you might damage the individual's rights. So they wanted to really think it out. Nowadays, all you hear is this do nothing Congress, gridlock, blah, 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 blah. And then we hear it and go, yeah, that sucks. Why do they do that? Because they should be, if they gave a shit. That's not why they're doing it, but it's actually working. The system is working. See, there's a restrictor on it set up by the parties and the branches of government. So whether they want to speed through there or not, it's still governed to be do nothing, gridlock, slow. So at least that is working, barely. So when you look around and you realize that your enemies and my enemies are pretty much on the same page, we're in trouble because it wasn't set up that way. So when your enemies and my enemies will both allow the president to do things unilaterally without consent and all that, that's not the way it was set up, and we're being screwed. So once again, why was it okay for your guy to do it and not our guy? Because my premise is it wasn't all right for either of them to do it. Why is it okay for Google to come right out and say that they're going to record every conversation and turn on your laptop camera to watch you in your house? They watch the words you type as you type them in. And that's okay because Google's warm and fuzzy. But when Bush set up the Patriot Act, that was wrong because he wanted to watch everything you did. Oh, well, because Bush had the football. It's not right to do that. Now that Obama has the football, the NSA has grown. The TSA has grown. Nothing changed. It's just now we're just bitching about other people. So the enemies are just moving right along, and they just keep throwing the football back and forth. Meanwhile, the game is fixed, and you and I are not going to be the victors. Now, if we could think globally and act locally, then we might have a hope in hell. See, you don't have to be all involved in what's happening in Washington because we created Washington. And we could uncreate it pretty much just as fast, just the same as we can make a celebrity famous and then get mad at them and never hear of them again. And they become has-beens, one-hit wonders. That's what we could do to Washington. But no, we get all caught up in their game and we're over there running and thinking and go, wow, what about this? And she's like, vote for that. What about Ben Carson just said this? When the simple fact is, if we could get control of our local governments, we'd be protected. Right there. A sheriff can protect you from the FBI, the EPA, all of those agencies. You should be able to call your sheriff and go, hey, they're coming to SWAT team me tomorrow night according to what they told me. I need to be protected. You need to stop them from coming in. And the sheriff could just call the ATF and go, if you show up, there will be a gunfight and it will be between your guys and my guys. You need to clear this with me. Well, we got all this evidence and we got it illegally and we did all these things and we just think through the algorithm that we ran that this guy is a threat. And the sheriff could actually look at that and go, well, I know the guy personally and first of all, you shouldn't have been spying on him, but since you did, these are not threatening words. Or, you know what, that's kind of scary. I will go talk to him. But if you SWAT team him, we're going to have problems. And the sheriff can do that. The sheriff is the ultimate dog on the porch. We elected him. His job is to protect your rights, the individual, not your, as in everybody in town, you, Bob, Jane Doe, that rights. So we could kind of get a hold of it, and we could kind of start getting our sheriffs to man up and grow a set, or to girl up and grow a pair of boobies. So we could kind of get in charge, but see, that's not the way the game's set up. We're always on defense, and then the minute we wake up, then maybe tomorrow we're always on defense and offense. And then now we're on offense, and now we're on defense. And there's no time to sit down and go, what the hell is going on? WTF about this stuff. What the heck? And so they've kind of created it, and it might sound like a conspiracy theory, but if you set up a system that taxes everyone to death, and then if there's not enough taxes, let's add property tax because they don't want to lose their house, which is unconstitutional. But then they do that, and let's do this, and then we'll regulate the shit out of them so now they have to work twice as hard. So now you and your spouse have to work to just barely keep the lights on and feed your kids. And then they're going to regulate all the products that you eat so they become more expensive. So now you have to work even more. And it sounds like a villain plan out of Austin Powers, but the simple fact is it's been set up that way and we don't have time to look at it. And then through all the government welfare, I'm not talking about food stamps, I'm talking about the free equipment they give the sheriff and the police offices. And then if you want a pothole fixed and a street light put up, but your county don't have the money, the feds step in and go, oh, here's a check. Here, we'll pay for that. And you're like, nobody ever goes, yeah, well, what's in it for you? Oh, don't worry about it. We're just the good guys. So then they give you all this welfare, and then pretty soon the sheriff can't tell the ATF stay out because he's beholden to them, and now he can't, which is messed up. You and I didn't sign on to it. Do you remember signing on to that? Do you remember the sheriff ever calling you and going, hey, if I take all these vehicles and this body armor from the federal government and this money, let them come into, you know, to the county and prosecute these crimes that I just don't have time to, you're going to lose your freedom. What do you think about that? And then we'd all go, no, I'll donate more money. Shit, I'll get you some body armor. How many deputies do you have? No, we weren't given that choice. And so it slipped away. I said in one of my episodes that these gun rules do not apply to United States citizens. The Federal Firearms Act only applied to territories and people outside of America. You and me, it does not apply to. But because we're good people and we don't want to be assholes, we follow it. And when they say you shouldn't do that because it's against the law, we're like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be a dick. But the reality is it does not apply to you. It's like writing you a speeding ticket when you're sitting on your sofa. It's like, I didn't go anywhere. Well, we're giving you a ticket. Oh, well, I'll pay it because, you know, I didn't know. No, they're screwing it. And we follow along with it. Not because we're stupid, but because we're good people. We want to follow the law. If some federal agency says that you must get a stamp to get a suppressor, you're like, oh, okay, that's $200. No big deal. I don't really need one, so I won't get one. Or I could really use one, so I'll get one. And it's just another bill that you get to pay for. We could just sit there and go, no, you need to read that again there, Timmy. Well, because you're in violation of this and that. It's like, well, I don't live in a territory. Well, you know, we've construed that to mean that if you look at a girl, then you're an adulterer. And so therefore, since we construe it that way, we're gonna arrest you for adultery. And then since we've gotten this far, we're gonna stone you to death. I didn't even look at her. Yeah, but we think you did. That's how it works. So I'm just rambling and I don't want to do that. So I want to take a break. We'll be right back and move along, little doggy.
Our online store, DoomsdayDepot.com, that's Doomsday with a Z as in Zoom, lets you zoom into products selected by a prepper for preppers. Don't get lost looking for the supplies you need. Find them and great values too at our online store. And you can always learn more at theprepperguy.com too.
So that's kind of how I see all this happening and coming out together and all that. I don't think we can change it. I wish we could. I'm not a fatalist. I just think it would take a mass amount of organization to actually change it. And I don't think that exists in America. Not because we don't care. I think both parties care about the poor. I think both parties care about the debt. I think both parties have issues with this war machine that we have. We really do. But we're being divided and conquered on a level that we just don't understand the level of evil that actually is happening. And when you really think about it as a horrible conspiracy or just a villainous plan, it's almost so diabolical that it runs contrary to how we feel about people. I mean, it just, you know, if you really could see it, if you could stand back and see it, it would probably be so depressing that we'd throw ourselves off a tall building, set ourselves on fire. So I'm not picking on either party. I'm not picking on you as an individual because you work hard and you're so busy that you don't have time to really think about the things that we talk about sometimes. I don't have time. I mean, you know, for a while there, I was thinking, wow, what Ben Carson just said on TV was really awesome. Man, what a grasp of the Constitution. And then only because I was listening to something else while I was on a road trip for a few hours, I realized that he also said something that really kind of bothered me when he said, I'm going to continue this war on drugs. It's like, really? It's a failure. It violates constitutional and civil rights. So why did he say that? Is it because he does not understand? Or is it because he does understand? And then you hear that even the White House spokesman and people in the White House are saying that they think Paul Ryan would be great for Speaker of the House. It's like, oh, okay, well, you know, if the other team says that we should bring in a different quarterback, I'm going to really wonder about that because I don't want to get my advice from the other team. Now, if my team coach says, oh, that's a good idea, thanks. Now I'm being screwed. I see that the fix is in. Our enemies are on the same page. We don't know what book they're reading, but they are on the same page. So this is why I prep very vigorously, but very laid back. If you came to my house and you looked at all my preps, you would see, a couple backpacks that I got laying around with hardly anything in them. You'd see some guns, the same normal guns that everybody else has. I like to target practice, so I have a .22, and I have this and that. And you wouldn't see, Mad Max prepper here because I don't prep that way. Do I have massive amounts of skills that cannot be confiscated, seized, or taxed away? Yeah. Can I build a shelter out of anything? Yeah. Do I have the skills to do it? Yeah. Do I know? Yeah. Because anytime I'm out doing something, I'm screwing around. I see a bunch of sticks there. And I was like, oh, I'll pile that all up. And I was like, oh, look at that. I made me a really cool shelter. Let's go. Because I'm not going to live in it. I have a house. I know for a fact that I can build a shelter out of anything because I have a lot of construction skills. And I've all my life, I've tinkered and built things. So I know that even if I'm building an igloo, I know how it works. I know the physics of how it works, how the things kind of have to be done. And if it doesn't work out right, then I'll turn it into an ice cave, but I know I can do it. I know the principles of why it's done a certain way. I know why there's a lower spot to catch the cold and I sleep up there. And you just know these things. So therefore, I don't have to have a bunch of tents. I have three or four tents because I had an old one in high school and then a new one that's just fine for me and my wife. And then someone else in the family said, oh, I got this big 10 by 30 foot tent that I've never used. It's like, oh, cool. Thanks. I think I've never set it up, but I got it. I know how to set up a tent. So I'm not that prepper. Do I know how to shoot? Yeah, I've been shooting since I was a kid. Do I go train constantly? No, I can't afford the ammo. And I don't need to, I'm never going to get into a firefight. And if I do, I'm probably going to die because I'm not that guy. I'm not a SWAT team trained Navy SEAL kind of guy. So my whole plan is around that. You don't plan to bug out in a bug out vehicle if you don't know how to drive. Doesn't mean you're not going to bug out. So that's why I'm a very hardcore prepper, but it's hardcore in a different level. When I tell people I have food, they go, oh, you don't have any food storage. It's like, well, I got enough in my freezer for usually a month just because I buy meat in bulk, not because I'm a prepper, just because it's a better deal. And then I have, all my camp stuff because I go camping. So I got some dehydrated stuff just in case I get there and I'm too cold to make dinner. And it's like, oh, just eat this crap. But that's about it. Do I have some MREs? Yeah. How many? Not that damn much. I think I have maybe a week's supply for me and my wife because they were on sale. So how much food do I have? Every rabbit and bird and squirrel I see out there is my food storage. Every gopher, rattlesnake, or mouse is my food storage. I could sit here on my porch in any given day and shoot 10 or 15 dove. They're so stupid, more of them would come back the next day. Three or four rabbits that are always running around being chased down by a hawk or a coyote. There's rabbits. There's coyote. There's javelina. Do I need javelina? No. Would I want to eat it? Not really. Would I eat it if I'm hungry? Hell yeah. I'll throw some garbage out there and bring them in. But I'm not going to stay here. So when I need to leave, some people would think that's a negative. Well, you don't have enough food. It's like, no, because I can pick up those two packs. I can throw my weak supply of food in there that weigh nothing, grab my meager supply of guns and ammo, and be out that door before you take inventory of just your dehydrated food. So I'm not going to be on the sinking ship counting my preps. So I can grab and go 100 times faster than anyone else that will be in my boat. I will be the first off the sinking ship. And that's how I prepare. So it's not just like going to be by luck. That was my plan. How do I eat? Well, I'm a meat eater. I've always been a meat eater. I've learned more about being a meat eater now because I read a lot more to where I'm very comfortable with being a meat eater. So I don't need to find land to where I can grow food on it because I'm not going to grow it even in a time of peace. I have a big 6-acre yard. I don't have a garden. My brother's like, how come you have all this grass? You can't get nothing out of grass. It's like, yeah, I like it. Looks good. I'm not going to grow food. I don't need to find a location that has water enough to grow a garden because I don't eat the shit. So that's just one thing off my list that I don't have to worry about because I know I can eat meat 24/7 for the rest of my life and be perfectly healthy. I don't need to grow fruit trees. I don't need to find fruit trees. I don't need to find wild oats and berries because I don't eat wild oats and berries. Now, will I have a hard time finding meat, running around, climbing trees and stuff in a grid down situation where everybody else is out in the wild? It'll be tough, but it'd be just as tough to carry all my food and protect it from all those same crazy people. Because if they're shooting everything in sight to eat it, they're going to shoot me in sight and eat my food too. And since they have that mindset that they want dehydrated carbs, they'll shoot me first if I have a bunch of it. They come up to me and go, "Where's all your food?" It's like, "Man, I'm starving for months." "Yeah, it looks like it." It's like, "Okay, nothing here. Move along. You got a truck full of stuff. They're going to shoot you from a half mile away and you're not even going to feel it. And then they're going to take all your shit." So I can grab and go way quick. That makes my reflexes in a bad situation rattlesnake quick. And I'll eat rattlesnakes too. There's a lot of them in the desert. So it's a mindset that I have. And that's why I say I like to try to help people that may feel overwhelmed. You don't have a year's supply of dehydrated carbs? Don't worry about it. Well, what do I do about it? Read this book on nutrition. You'll find out that you don't need all that stuff they say. Because any medical book will not have anything listed about an essential carbohydrate. There's essential oils. There's essential fats. There's essential nutrients. For 100 years, they've left out the essential carb because it doesn't exist. The body doesn't need it. So quit worrying about it. If that makes you feel a little better and you go, "Wow, then I'm way more prepared because I don't have all that crap. So all I need to do is learn to do a little hunting." It's like, yeah, it's fun. It's like shooting. But I don't like killing animals. It's like, neither do I. That's why I buy my meat in bulk. But I target practice a lot, and that little squirrel, when he's in my sights, I'm going to eat him because I'm hungry. So got my head around that. What about exercise? Everything I do is exercise. I'm not going to join a gym. I can shoot. I can shoot a bow. I can shoot a wrist rocket. I know how to fish. I used to go fishing all the time. Drank a lot of beer doing it. It's not that hard. So why worry about it? So that's why I am the prepper I am. And that's why I talk about all this political stuff. Because no matter what, the game is fixed. Something's going to happen. And it's going to fall apart because of physics and just the way things are. Shit happens. And all these great social planners that think it's going to fall apart and think they're going to blow America up like a big building and it's just going to fall straight into the basement, it's not. Because there's 300 million firearms out there connected to 300 million thinking Americans that'll sit there and go, "Well, I didn't really have a problem with you, but now that you're screwing my family, I'm going to shoot you on the spot." That will change the way the building falls. Just like demolition company has to have everything preset before they detonate it, or it'll fall to the right, it'll fall to the left, someone will get hurt, it'll damage something. They want it to fall straight down. And the one thing they haven't been able to just get tweaked just right for it to fall down is guns. So whether you're man, woman, or whoever's running for president, if they're against gun control, they should get more of your attention if you're going to vote for them. Because if they want to take away my rights, the individual, I don't care if it's guns or my ability to collect my rainwater off my roof. If they're taking a right that I have to drink rainwater, just like a dog will drink it out of a stream and tell me I can't do it, they're on the wrong side of history. And they can go F themselves. They don't get my vote. If they want to screw with my right to worship whoever, however, whenever I want to, then they lost my vote. If they want to take away my rights in any aspect, do you know how many there are rights? All of them. Do you think you have the right to grow winter rye in your yard? Yeah, you do. So anything you can think of, you have that right to do. You have that right to marry whoever you love. The people that screwed it up weren't those racist, gay-hating people. It was the government by getting into marriage in the first place and taking away your right. Because, see, you can worship however you want. If they say, "Well, it says not to marry, gay people shouldn't get married in the Bible," it's like, that's your right to think that way. I think this way. "Oh, well, you know what? That's your right too, buddy. Congratulations. Hope you're happy." No, it was the government that got involved and said, we need to regulate this. We need to control your rights. Therefore, you're in violation of the Constitution because you're not protecting my rights. See how easy it is to find out who you're going to vote for? Which pretty much narrows it down to absolutely no one. And that is why America needs to change. And this election will not change shit. Now, we should have more representatives in every state. A representative should only represent a certain amount of people. It's in the Constitution. Look it up. So your representative in your district shouldn't be representing 100,000 people in the next district. It should be your local district where you live. Maybe a town. 4,000 or 5,000 people. That's it. That's your representative. They all get together and say, this is what we think should be the senator to go to Washington and say what we've told them to say. So it could change, but not everyone's going to wake up. And even those that wake up, maybe not see it the same way you do. Because we all want one of the teams to win at the Super Bowl. They just want a different team than you. That's all. So they see a different outcome. So it's not going to change anything having an election. Not because elections don't work. It's just the dog and pony show that they've given us and call elections are rigged. And you can see it all over the place. Ron Paul had more support back in the last whenever he tried to run. But the dog and pony show marginalized him, pushed him out, called him the mayor of Crazy Town. And that was it. He was drawing in crowds at Berkeley, which is, you know, pretty well liberal school, well, you would think. And yet they liked what he had to say. I talked to Democrats, liked what he had to say. He had support, but the dog and pony show didn't want somebody that was that smart and that much of a free thinker and a freedom-loving American to ever come close to the presidency of the United States. And therefore, out the door he went. Not because he wanted to. They just handed him his hat and showed him the door. Bye. Why do you think they're doing all this stuff to Rand Paul now? Oh, he's under investigation. We indicted a couple of his people. You can indict a ham sandwich. Big effing deal. Nope. They're handing him his hat and pushing him out the door. Why? Did he do anything wrong? Yeah. Yeah, he did a lot wrong. He wants to save America and give you your freedom back. Oh, well, we can't have that shit now, can we? So there you have it. You know, I used to be a real big fan of Glenn Beck. And then the more I listened to him, the more I saw that he was just another one of the players in the Ponzi scheme. And when he pushed Ron Paul out there for stupid reasons, I was just like, this guy that says he's a thinker is not really thinking, is he? So he lost all credibility with me, and I haven't listened to Glenn Beck in years. And anyone else that does that and says that and tries to screw with my head, I quit listening to him. That's why I read, I listen to certain programs, and I take it all with a grain of salt. And at the end of the year, maybe, when I analyze everything they've said, if they're not trying to snow me and blow smoke at me and screw me over and tell me how to think, I'll listen to them again for another year or a week or a month. So all these politicians, they've been off my radar for a long time. So it's not really a complicated story. It's just I try to watch it and it's like, oh, you know, Glenn, you know, I got three people here this year, which is an anomaly, that aren't in politics. So I paid attention a little bit more than normally I would. And they're all screwing up because they're all just part of the problem too. So screw them all. They don't get my vote. And if they don't put someone up there in either party that is rock solid going to protect my rights to be an idiot, if that's what I choose, to be a smoker, if that's what I choose, to work in a coal mine and get black lung because that's what I choose, whatever the scenario is, to call somebody something and do hate speech and get my ass kicked for it, if they're not going to protect my right to do that, I'm not going to vote for them. So it's pretty much a given that I'm not going to be voting this election because there's just nobody out there. I mean, you don't have to buy a car if the selection of cars that are on all the car lots just aren't the ones you want this year. You know, there's no law that says I have to vote. Screw them. There's a lot of laws that say they should be putting up better candidates, but there's no law that says I have to like any of them. So if I give you the choice between a Hugo or a Russian-made piece of junk car, whatever they were called, or a 50-year-old Volkswagen or any of that, and I go, you know what, I'm in the market for a car, but this year's selection, I just don't see one I like, then I don't have to buy one. If all the movies coming out of Hollywood suck this year, I just won't go to the theater. And, you know, quite frankly, everything I see running for president and all these other things, I don't see anybody. I think it would be better for America if more people didn't vote and just maybe even write on the ballot if you could still even touch the damn thing. Just none of the above. I wish they had a thing where you could say, F you, you're all stupid, start over, reset. Maybe they need to have a reset candidate to where if you everything that's on the ballot is just such mindless, mind-numbing bullshit, you could just click that one button, reset. That means, no thanks, thanks for wasting my time for 2 years of this bullshit, you know, election campaign season. See, they even call it a season, like a sporting event. But since they're not going to do that, I just say screw them. I could use harsher language, but I try to keep this as a, you know, more adult and not disgusting, rude language, because just in case a kid does hear it. But it really irritates me. It really pisses me off. And when I say WTF, I really want to say the words that that stands for, because it really upsets me. So I don't know if this helps you at all, because when I do a podcast, I don't make a bunch of notes and then read off them. I just go with what has bothered me the most in the last couple of days. And quite frankly, the election has been bothering me a lot. So I don't know how to boil things down, because, well, nobody wants to listen to a podcast where I just read off my talking points. You know, this is from the heart. This is how I feel. I see all these things. It's like in the movie Contact, where she's like flying through that wormhole or whatever it is. And she's like, they should have sent a poet, because I can't explain what I'm seeing. It's the same thing. It's just like a sponge that's just been absorbing contaminants and pollutants. And I can't really put my finger on what's in there, but it's there. So anyway, this is me trying to put some order to my chaos. I don't know if any of you listeners yet appreciate it or can't stand the way I do a podcast. I just don't think a list of talking points and a whole bunch of notes really conveys deep inner thoughts, which is what I try to do. I'm not a very good storyteller, so I get kind of distracted. So hopefully that doesn't upset you. If anyone has any comments, please always email me. I never know if any of the links are working, and I'm not that great at all this technical stuff. But I know that Mark, M-A-R-K, at prepperguy.com. I know that works, because I get tons of junk email. But America's in a bad way. And it's not like they haven't been saying that for a long time, because I've been hearing it since I was a kid. But I guess everything, you know, slowly erodes over time anyway. So I think we're at a point in time in America when you look at just the gravity of things, maybe the psychohistory of life in America, you get so many people thinking a certain way and certain things happen. It's just statistical averages. And so I think we're farther down than we were 50 years ago. People are changing, their values are changing more, their opinions are changing more. We all grew up with a group of parents that had different values. And of those people, you know, some of the parents were strict, some were not. We, as that group of kids that came out of that generation, some of us rebelled against it. Some of us kind of clung to it and said, I appreciate my mom and my dad trying to teach me these values, but I now sit on this side of the fence. And so things are changing. If you look at the important things that make up a country, like its culture and its promise and the promise of its government to help or to destroy the country, we're losing those important things. I have nothing against gay marriage. I have a lot of friends that are gay. I think it's awesome if somebody can find someone that they love. But I don't think that now that they've won the argument, should they continue to beat a dead horse? I mean, a mom is a mom. A dad is a dad. A woman is a woman and a man is a man. A boy is a boy and a girl is a girl. But it seems like they want to eliminate those words from the dictionary too. There's no he, she. And right now it's just a rumor that they might, you know, ban these words. And that's the Overton window kind of effect. You know, it's like if I move your point of view over 10 feet to the left and I go, look at that. And you're like, oh, that's horrible. Holy shit. What do you mean they can't say man, woman, mother, father, husband, wife? And you have a visceral reaction and you go, oh, well, let's move it back. They don't move it all the way back to where it was. They move it back maybe halfway, and they're like, well, what we're trying to do is just stop this, you know, gender profiling and all that. And, you know, yeah, of course you'll be able to call your mom and your dad, but we don't want it used in a negative way. And then you're like, okay, well, I got to get to work. So, okay, that's not so bad. What's happened is they've still moved it over to the left or to the right, to the closer to what they want, farther from what you thought. So a year from now, they might show you again and you're like, oh, crap. What do you mean you're going to kill men and women that are straight? And then they go, no, no, no. And then they move it back and they go, no, we're just going to outlaw the words man, woman, mother, father, boy, girl, boyfriend, girlfriend. And you're like, oh, well, that's fine. I just don't want to see this murder. Well, see, over a few years, they've gotten you to where they showed you. They just did it in slower phases, and they knew you wouldn't buy it if they showed it to you and then tried to sell it to you. So they took you over and scared you with something worse. And then you went, oh, no, I don't want that. How about this? Oh, yeah, that's not bad. I don't want pink. Oh, how about red? Okay. Next year, it's like, how about white? Oh, okay. If I mix them, it's pink. Oh, okay. It's all just sales 101. I don't know. But they call that the Overton window. So they show us things that scare us. And then they back up and then we're like, ah, that's so much better. I can sleep now. And then they show us something more scary. And you're like, oh my God, you're giving me nightmares. And they go, what if we go back here? It's like, oh, I can sleep now. But 5 years ago, that gave you nightmares. Do you understand? I mean, everyone I think understands the Overton window. It's just how they do it. And it's cute to, you know, write books about it and think about it and all that stuff and go, oh, the Overton window is horrible and all that. The reality is it's part of the plan and they are doing it, whether you understand it or not, whether you see it or not, whether you believe in it or not, they're still doing it. So, and it doesn't matter if it's illegal. It doesn't matter if your candidate likes it. They're doing it because it's so hidden that you don't even see it. And normally it wouldn't work without the media and all these corrupt politicians. But everyone's, your enemies and my enemies are on the same page. They just have us quarreling about what team's going to win the Super Bowl. So how do you win? You don't. The key is, how do you live? How do you live through it? Do we stop attacking each other for different points of view when it's the same point of view, if you really think about it? You know, I have nothing against the Russian people. Never did. Maybe the government pissed me off because they did something that maybe affected someone in my family. I don't have nothing against Russians. I don't have nothing against Muslims. I met some really nice Muslim people. It's the leaders and the crazy bastards that are running their shit show and the crazy leaders all around. And we're all just the pawns. And the people moving the pieces are the assholes. And then the one minute you say, your leader is an asshole because he just made this happen and now it affected me. And I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at your leader. And then all of a sudden you're a racist. You're an extremist. You're a terrorist. See, I have nothing against immigrants coming to this country. When they want to bring 200,000 of them over here that I didn't even get to vet or ask questions or go, hey, what's your name? And they're just doing it to screw me. That's like a quarterback sneak or whatever play. They're you know, an end run. And we're all like, well, I didn't see that happening. Well, it doesn't matter. We won the game now. And if you say anything, oh, well, what do you got against the quarterback? No, nothing. The team players are all great. It's this asshole coach that cheated. Oh, what do you got against him? Is it his education? Is it his he's a woman? Is it because they're black? Is it because they're immigrants? Is it because they drink? Is it because they smoke? No, it's because they cheated. Oh, well, we don't want to talk about that. You're just an extremist. No, I want people to come over here because they want to come over here, not because it's a game plan to screw me. So I'm gonna try to just clarify a few things, and that is why I ramble on and talk about all these issues. Because whether you like it or not, whether you understand or not, or whether you believe or not, doesn't matter that the game is fixed. Whether I care or not, doesn't matter. Whether I try or not, doesn't matter. The game is fixed. All we can do is learn to analyze and watch and realize that when the time comes, when the Titanic that never was supposed to sink, it was unsinkable, when it hits an iceberg and starts to sink, I'm not going down with that ship because I had nothing to do with the driving of it into an iceberg. I'm going to get the people I care about and get off the ship as fast as it can because it's going to sink. That's all I'm saying. America's the Titanic. No one believes anything bad can happen. Not in America. Oh, no. We're the greatest nation on earth. Yep. and the Titanic was built out of this magic steel that was supposed to repel icebergs. Right up until it didn't. So I'm just telling you, check your life raft. Be ready. Know where it is. So when you feel the rumbling in the ship and you're like, holy shit, we hit an iceberg. All you got to do is take two steps out, grab your life vest, take four steps over, get on your escape raft, put the ones you love in it, and go down while the water's calm and row away from that boat as fast as you can so you don't get sucked under. That's why I'm a prepper, and that's why I bring all this shit up. And I probably do a real bad job of trying to explain it all. So how do we use all this useless information that Mark the Prepper Guy gives us all the time? I don't know. How do we get our heads around the fact that we're being screwed? I don't know. How do we save our family and our loved ones? I don't know. I do know we're going to wake up someday and we're going to find out that the Titanic has hit that iceberg that it was never supposed to run into, and America's going to start sinking that it was never supposed to do. You and I will never be told what happened. We will never be let known that it is happening, because all those in charge have a different agenda than you and I. We're just being Americans. We just want to be happy and live our lives. And as long as we think that way, then we can have the wool pulled over our eyes and we can continue to be naive. But the simple fact is that the people that are trying to F over this country are not naive. They are not stupid and they are not uninformed. They want an outcome that's diametrically opposed to the outcome that you and I want. That doesn't make it not going to happen. You just can't close your eyes and your ears and your mouth and go, la, 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 la. I don't hear you, la, 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 la. Because it doesn't work that way. Never has. So you and I have to be smarter than that to not stop the Titanic from hitting the iceberg because it's already hit it. We can't stop it from sinking because it's already sinking. What we need to do is just not be rearranging the deck chairs as it's going down. We need to be smart enough to go, yeah, that doesn't help or change anything. I'm going out the door, I'm grabbing my life vest, and I'm hitting the water before the ship starts sinking, and I'm going away toward that safe spot over there. Well, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to this show. I hope I brought something to the table for you all. As always, go to prepperguy.com, read the show notes, and run over to YouTube. Check out my channel every once in a while. I'll have a video out there, and sometimes I do the whole episode as a video. And then also, for all your prepper needs, go to doomsdaydepot.com. That's doomsdaydepot.com for any end-of-the-world supplies you may need. Other than that, I hope you have a great week, and we will talk to you later. As always, enjoy the apocalypse.